Morning. That was a really good tie-in. I was just going to share for a few minutes about the full salvation God gives us. Okay, and it's really exciting stuff. You know, I think I'm going to share just a few verses for a few minutes, but it's really good to be reminded about this complete salvation God gives us. So just wanted to start off really quickly asking everyone, what does it mean to be saved? Think about that question. What does it mean to be saved, to have salvation? I'll just read one verse from Acts 2:21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if we're thinking in our mind, what does it mean to be saved? You know, some of us, the first thing is, well, what are we saved from? And I think all of us would be able to say, when the Lord saves us, when we're born again, we're saved from hell. And that is a wonderful gift the Lord gives us. Because he came to earth to die on the cross, he saved us from having to go to hell. And that's an amazing salvation. But it doesn't end there. There's more to the salvation he gives us. And it's amazing news that applies to us here and here now today. When we come into church and we think about the salvation God gives us, we can just rejoice daily. So I just want to share a few verses. The Lord had said to the woman who was caught in adultery, he said to her, go and sin no more. Okay, that was his command to her, go and sin no more. And if we think about it, about our own lives, when we come to the Lord and we're born again, the Lord saves us, but he also tells us the same thing. He says, go and sin no more. Now, if the Lord saved us and we're born again, but then he just sets us to our own devices and says, okay, you guys have to figure out how to sin no more. You know, we might last for, you know, a few days, maybe for a week or two, maybe for a few hours, by our willpower. But what will happen eventually? We all know this. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. And we're going to, you know, we'll repent. We'll get back up and we'll say, Lord, forgive me. And we'll go through a cycle where we do it again and again. And we might feel like this. There has to be more to this. Like the Lord, there has to be more to overcome in life. And thankfully there is. And I'm just going to share a few verses about that. Okay. So starting off, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The Lord wants to give us a complete salvation. So starting off, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the goal the Lord has for our life is that our entire person, our spirit, our soul, and our body can be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus. So that's the goal the Lord has for our life, throughout our life. I'm going to be turning to a few verses here, so bear with me. I'll try to not go too quickly, just a few verses here. So John 10, verse 10, I'll go there. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the Lord came to give us an abundant life. That's a full life. He didn't come to give us the kind of life where we're sinning and we're repenting and getting back up again. And yes, that happens to us. But the Lord came to give us an abundant life. He came to give us a complete salvation. And if we're not experiencing that, we need to see some verses here that are just really exciting to think about, okay? And by the way, this abundant full life the Lord came to give us is for each one of us. It's not just for, you know, for Paul or, you know, for Peter. Or we might look at our own life and think, well, I know certain people who are really spiritual, you know, and maybe it's for them. This abundant life the Lord has is for each one of us here today, okay? So let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 17, it says, if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The word reign is the word It's not like raining from, like if it's raining today, but it's actually reigning as a king. So kings reign in their kingdom. And the Lord here is saying, those who receive the abundance of grace can reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. That means we can live an overcoming life because of what he gives us, and he gives us an abundant grace. That means he gives us far more grace than we could possibly need so that we can actually live an overcoming life. It's almost like if you were living on the streets with, you know, poor and no money, and you were like a beggar, and you were like, you know, going around looking for food in the garbage can because you had nothing, but you actually had a bank account with hundreds of billions of dollars in it. But then you just, for some reason, you weren't aware of that, and you're living like a beggar, going from garbage can to find your food when you don't realize that you have access to hundreds of billions of dollars in the bank account. What the Lord gives us is he gives us an abundant supply of grace so that we can reign in life. And the Lord wants us to be able to reign in life here and now. And it's an exciting, complete salvation he gives us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9. If at any point we look at our life and we think, man, I'm not able to, I can't do it. I have too many problems. I can't overcome this sin. You know, I have the thoughts in my head. I can't overcome my thought patterns. They're just, you know, whatever our problem is, God's grace is completely sufficient for that. And if we can realize that, it makes life exciting because we can think every day, I don't have to sin. I can overcome with the Lord. And it actually allows us to wake up, think, I can overcome today with the Lord's help. I don't have to keep stumbling in this way. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And we're just going to look at this verse very carefully and slowly because it's a very amazing verse. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you will have an abundance for every good deed. So let's think about what this verse is saying. How much grace is God able to give us? It says here he gives us all grace. And not only that, he makes all grace abound to you. Abound means more than enough. So he gives us, it's like he makes all grace abound to us. So we have how much sufficiency? It says so we have all sufficiency. In what? In everything. So we can have an abundance for every good deed. So that means we're going to have extra grace left over for every good deed we can imagine. Does this not cover every situation? It says he'll give us all, we'll have all sufficiency in everything, so we can have an abundance for every good deed. That's what God's grace does for us. And that's the complete salvation he gives us. And I read some of these verses this morning, and I was just, you know, it's verses we've read and heard many times, but I think if we just focus on what the Lord has given us, we can wake up in the morning and we can overcome today. The Lord can give us an overcoming life, and there's nothing in our life that's too hard for the Lord. I'll just read a few more verses. 2 Corinthians, if we just go a couple pages ahead to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 9. And the Lord said to me, so the Lord is talking to Paul, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So again, we see the Lord was telling Paul, his grace is sufficient for Paul, but the power here was perfected in weakness. That means not confidence in ourselves. We have to have confidence in God. And if we do that, no confidence in ourselves, the Lord can give us this overcoming power in our life. Let's go to just a few couple more verses. 2 Peter. It says in the Bible, faith comes from hearing the word of God. And I think if we think on some of these promises and remember them, faith can come, and faith can allow us to take hold of these promises in our own life. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verses 3 and 4. It says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So I'll pause for a moment there. His divine power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's what God's word says. Our place, our point, our place is to believe it. God's power has given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. It's been given. Our place is to believe it by faith. As we believe it by faith, it'll work itself out in our life. Verse 4, it says, by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you can become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So God gave us all of these promises, including the one we just read from 2 Corinthians 9:8, that by these promises, what does it say? We can be partakers of the divine nature. It's that this is where the answer is. The full salvation he gave us is through this abundant grace that was given to us, that as we lay hold of it by faith, we can overcome daily. So the question is this: how do we access this grace? How do we access this grace that can help us daily? What is our place? Because the Lord did tell the woman, he says, go and sin no more. And that's his command to us. Go and sin no more. Our place is faith. We have to believe that it's been given. This grace has been given. We have to believe that this grace has been given to us. It hasn't just been given to Paul and to Peter and, you know, to different people out there we've read about. But this grace is given for each one of us. As we lay hold of it by faith, the Lord can enable us to overcome. So just lastly, I just wrote down a few things. Sometimes we can think, like, you know, in our mind, we might think to ourselves, well, I can't overcome these thoughts. You know, I'm not wired to think like that, or my brain's wired to think a certain way. I can't control my thoughts. You know, we might say to ourselves, the pull of the world is too hard for me, right? That might be a thought we have. We might say, well, it's too hard to stay pure in this life. There's too many things in our life we have to deal with at once. Maybe we're struggling with physical problems, and we might just think, man, it's too hard. There's too many problems to deal with. So the question I want to conclude here, we have to ask ourselves is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord in our life? Did he not make us? And what we should do is we should finish how Abraham did. And I'll just finish with this verse, Romans chapter 4. Abraham, and we've heard this verse many, many times, Romans 4:20. Without becoming weak in faith, he considered his own body as good as dead. But with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. So whether we've fallen 100 times in a certain area, whether we think it's impossible for us to fix how we think or how we are, we have to lean on God. And let me just close again with this verse that I read earlier from 2 Corinthians 9. We have to lean on the promises of God, and if we do that by faith, we're going to find ourselves being able to overcome. So I'll close with this verse. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so always having all sufficiency in everything, you will have an abundance for every good deed. That's it.